This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
And good afternoon, everybody. Damn, you are in for Scott Watley, and welcome to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and my good friend Kurt Rogers. Kurt, how are you today, sir?
I am doing that fine. I like the way you said that. Good afternoon. 12:01:01.
12:01:01.
We're in the afternoon.
That's the afternoon.
I like the way you did that.
That's right. All righty, man. Okay, so in preparation for this show, I was looking
over. And that
over
scares
this
me. Idea.
It should. It really should. The whole listening audience is going, wow, Dan did prep. Okay. Okay, so here we go. So this is an article from the Washington Post. Okay. And it says, many borrowers say that mortgage process is a major pain. Let me read you some highlights from this. At the time of super strict underwriting standards, record high credit score requirements, and hardwired debt to income cutoffs, has the process of applying and qualifying gone a little over the top?
You think?
Okay. 42% said they have found the mortgage experience stressful. 32% found it complicated. Okay. One of every six said their applications had been rejected. 52% of those were denied. 52% of those who were denied said they had been told their debt to income ratios didn't meet current standards, and 39% had been told their credit report scores weren't good enough for the loan program they sought. 31% of those turned down said that they were surprised at the lender's decision. Borrowers were asked to choose from a set of alternatives that would most closely describe the mortgage process. Get this now, Kurt. 41% it was more similar to an annual physical. Which for me, that's no fun.
I had a customer tell me it was like having a baby.
She
kind of related it to that.
Whoa, that's way up there. Now here, 34% said it was like going to the dentist.
Without the Novocaine. You got to take the Novocaine out. Yeah.
This is terrible. Okay, 56% of respondents found excessive paperwork to be the most overwhelming aspect, which I totally get that. The second most troubling issue for consumers, strict qualification requirements for loans. So, Kirk, do you think things have gone a little over the top, especially maybe since COVID, since what's going on? Are they becoming more strict?
Okay, I have to agree with these. I've been doing this for 20 years. And the process keeps changing, and it evolves every year. A lot of this started in 2008 because of the mortgage meltdown. There are a tremendous amount of things that the lenders look for now that they never did in the past that you wouldn't think about. Maybe we'll cover that as the show goes on. But while I don't agree with many of their conditions and many of the things in the process they make people go through, it is part of my job. I have to kind of make it as painless as possible. And that's not always.
I'm sitting with that look in my eye going, it's so painful.
It's not always that easy sometimes. We don't agree. One of the things I try to convey to the client is that when a lender is asking for documentation, it's not me personally asking for it. I'm just representing the lender, and in order for them to give the money, this is what they're saying they need. But I have the pain with them when they're asking for their grandmother's shoe size as to why they want to borrow this $200,000.
Right, because when you go to Affordable Interest Mortgage, it's not Kurt's bank. It's not Kurt opening up his wallet and saying, here's your loan.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
Very seldom is it, even with any bank that does give their own money.
Right.
They still, see, when you're loaning money in today's market, you can be a broker like me to where I'm not actually writing the check. I'm using a lender to do it. Or you can go to what's called a full correspondent bank to where they take the money out of their account and they get reimbursed later on. The final decision made is a law that came out several years ago called TRID and the Dodd-Frank Act on you must be able to prove certain documentation in order for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, or USDA to give the money to buy it from that lender. So those requirements are written there, and the ultimate decision is theirs, not the lender's. Even the one that's paying for it, it's really not their decision because they got to sell it. They can't keep it.
Yeah, so they've got to meet the requirements of the people that would be buying that piece of paper, I guess, is what
that's exactly
call it.
Right.
Okay, so do you think, though, and I guess it's kind of obvious, but COVID really has affected the mortgage market, hasn't it?
In more ways than you really can kind of think about. The lenders, understand the lender's role is they want to loan you money. They're in business.
Right.
They're in the money business. They loan it to you. They make money. But at the same time, if they loan it to you and you don't pay them back, then they lose money. And just because they have 100 people to pay on time and they have one that's bad, it takes away a considerable amount of their profits and their revenue so they can go forward. So customers don't like to hear this, but if you understand that when they're looking at your file and they're looking at your documentation, they actually are looking for areas of fraud. They're looking for lies. They're looking for deception.
So like what things are they looking for when you say that lies, deception? Is it your income? Is it your credit? What are they looking for?
First thing they start with is, are you giving us the correct birth date? Are you giving us the correct name?
Are you really who you say you are?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
And they have processes that they go through to verify that. Just because the credit report says this, that's just one piece of the puzzle. They have to verify it with other pieces of the puzzle. So they're always looking for fraud. They're looking for liars.
So in other words, this ID that I made up with your picture on it and your name on it, that probably
means nothing.
That means so they're not going to give me a loan under the name of Kurt Rogers. No.
You got to have one of those, but it's got to be the real one of you.
Okay. So what other things are they looking for as far as, you know, fraudulent? Because they really go through it. They comb through it pretty intensively.
They're going to look at your place of residence to make sure that you're saying that. When you fill out an application, which is one part of a loan, they want to know of any properties that you own or any businesses that you own. Well, for a consumer, I have a client just this morning that has had a business for the last 9 years, but they've done nothing with it for six of those nine. But they're keeping it open so that if they decide they want to go back into it. Well, the lender finds those things. I've had the lender find property that somebody owns in other states, and it's just land. But the lender finds them. So by not disclosing them and the lender finds them, now they're on that path of, okay, what else are they hiding?
Right. So now, let's say, okay, so like me, sometimes I'll fill out an application or something to say, how long did you live at this previous address?
3 years.
Okay, so what if I'm off by a few months? Does that flag them, or do they just kind of overlook that as someone's memory's bad?
They'll combine that with other things. If you say, I've lived there 3 years, but you've only lived there 18 months, that's a red flag.
Okay.
If you say 3 years and it's 2 years and 10 months, okay, we guessed, especially if you're going back for a ways.
Yes.
They're looking to make sure that who you say you work for is really who you work for, and that your W-2 and your pay stubs match. Now, that starts to become issues, again, of red flags to them when you have payroll companies that don't match the name, and then you change payroll companies. It requires extra work. Why? Because they're looking for someone to misrepresent themselves. And that's brought up more to light now because of COVID, because with so many people laid off, so many people that were furloughed and are coming back, people that received PPP loans, and they're still getting paid. But according to the lenders, that's not real money. And that'll surprise many people.
That would. Because you're still getting a paycheck.
If you're self-employed and you applied for a PPP loan, and let's say you're a small company and they gave you 50 grand and you paid yourself out of that, you didn't earn it. They don't count that as income. So now all of a sudden you made no money because the government had to give you the money to get by. And that's all because of COVID. Those kind of things you don't think about until you get ready to do a loan.
So how long is it going to take people to recover from that? Let's say that miraculously after the election, all the COVID restrictions are lifted, the economy gets back rolling again. How long is it going to take people to recover?
What world are you thinking is coming?
I'm just dreaming. Please, God, please let me be right. But let's say, though, that you had the PPE
you got
thing.
The money.
You got the money thing. But then later this year, let's say September this year, your business started going back again and you were actually earning the money again. How long do you have to be earning that money before the lenders look at it and go, okay, you're stable again?
2 to 3 months. I mean, for example, there was restaurants that they received the PPP money and they were able to stay afloat and pay their bills. And then all of a sudden they started opening up and they had outdoor space and their business is back. They cut their expenses. And what they require there is they require documentation that we'll get into later on what you need to prove that you're back to where you were. But they're very careful with your profession. I had a guy that sells tickets to anything you want to go to. I don't care what it is. he gets you the ticket.
Okay.
Period. World Series,
his name after
Super
the show?
Bowl, not a problem. And the underwriter actually told me he doesn't believe that the guy can make the money the guy said he was making.
Because nobody's going to events right now.
Even though he could prove it. Even though he showed money going into his account. He had proof he was getting paid to his business account the amount of money he said he was making before. They did not believe him and would not do the loan. They said, how is he doing that? I said, he's doing it. He's selling something, and he's doing it, and he's putting in his business. You're calling the guy a liar without any proof. And we got in a big discussion about that.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah.
Because I can understand where the lender's coming from, too, because they know all the events are closed.
Right.
So how is he doing this?
Because he prepaid $1.2 million worth of tickets that he had. So by cashing those tickets in, that's his income because he had prepaid for future sales. They wouldn't count it.
They wouldn't count it.
Even though it was his money. It was income he had earned previously that he was now taking.
Because they didn't want to count it because it didn't fall into the regular
Normal routine that he had because of COVID. And that's just kind of an example of some of the things. It affects more self-employed people than it does W-2, even though it can affect that. Your commissions, your bonuses, those things can all be affected by how the underwriter looks at it due to COVID.
Very interesting. Okay, so Kurt, it seems that everything's taking longer, too, like the loan approval process all the way to close. Why is it taking just longer for the paperwork to get through? I understand they're going through things maybe a little bit more, but it really seems to be taking a lot longer.
A lot of that is because interest rates are under 2% or under 3%.
So everybody's
approved. There's a mass amount of people going through it. It's almost free money. And the lenders cannot hire enough people to satisfy all the requirements they have to go through to do that. In addition to that is some of the stricter guidelines, some of the new requirements that they have out because they're so afraid. If you remember back when COVID first started in March, it became a problem is how fast can you close? How do you get an appraisal? There were customers that didn't want the appraiser in the house. There were appraisers that didn't want to go into a house. So how does a lender get a house appraised when you got a conflict here? All of that slows things down, and it just keeps backing things up. So those kind of things came into play. Title companies have an extremely hard time because if they come across the case of COVID in their office, they shut the whole office. Well, where do you close the loan? How do you do purchase closes? And the funny thing is they do them drive-by now. They actually go to a parking lot. The buyer's in one car. The seller's in another. There's a table with the closer sitting there, and they pass the documents across. But you had to invent those ways to make that work, which slows the process down.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I can see why you had to do it. You had to come up with a way to actually, because you can't do all of this virtually. You can't do all this through a Zoom call, can you?
No, I'll be honest. Almost everything's done. If you wanted to buy stock, that was probably a good company to buy stock in, was Zoom.
I'm telling you.
But a lot of it's being done that way. And it's kind of changing the industry in that regards. I mean, we've had you can apply online, you can get approved, and you can do everything. There's lenders out there now that will actually do the close for an e-sign. You don't need to be in front of anybody.
Oh, really? So that has changed then?
Yeah, you can be on your computer, and just as the same way as you sign up through a broker, you can close through a title company through the computer. They allow you to e-sign.
Wow. So with all the, let's say if you had to issue, do they still issue paper checks at closing? Do these, how does that work?
Yeah, you can, but right now more people are wiring money.
Just wiring it all in, then you can do it all virtually.
Yeah. So there is some actual positive things that we're going to see when this finally settles down. I won't take it to the degree you think it might go to, but when it settles, there's going to be some good points that have been made out of this.
Okay, so as you're getting, let's say you're brand new to all this. Let's say you're a millennial that happened to be flipping through the station or somebody that's never bought a house before. What does that process look like? What are the steps that you go through to get the loan started?
No matter where you go to do a mortgage loan, there is a process, and it's like a 5 or 6 step process. The first one is the application. The application is where the individual, i.e. like me, a loan officer, I'm going to take the information I need. There's a form called a 1004. The 1004 allows me to ask all the questions that the lender's going to need. Now, currently, the application form is 4 pages. Currently. March 1st, it goes to 7.
What?
To 8 pages. Print smaller, twice as many questions, And each customer has to have their own application. You can't put a joint customer on one.
So your husband and wife can't?
They're not going to be on the same application.
Really?
So each person has to identify their debts, their income, their liabilities on their own. So we get the same look because
it's like, oh my gosh.
But you have to do the application. The application is going to want to know your name, your address, your social security number, your date of birth, where you work, how long. What the lender's looking for is to show them the character of you for the last 2 to 5 years. Because the requirements are they want 2-year history of everything. They want to go to 2 to 5 years. So they're going to do that. From that point, the mortgage broker or the lender will ask for documentation to support what you say you make, how much money you got in the bank. Then that process goes from the application to the what we call the pre-submission before we submit it to the bank. We go through and check the integrity with the systems that we have and what we believe Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac will say yes to. So we put that package together. We then submit the file with your application and all your documentation to the lender. That process should take no more than 2 days. Could take three, but it should. If you get the application and as fast as we can get the documentation, once we have that, we check the integrity in 24 hours and we move the file along. So it goes to the lender. Now here's where the rub gets. Every lender's a little different.
Okay.
If you're doing a purchase in today's market, they'll fast track the purchase because everybody's on a time frame. So because you want to close that purchase in 30 days, purchases go to the top of the heap and they'll get to the underwriter as fast as possible. The quickest we're seeing in today's market is 4 days. Used to be 24 hours, now it's 4 days.
Oh, wow.
On a purchase. That's not bad. But when you go to a refi, because there's no time frame and rates really aren't moving that much, I have lenders 30 to 40 days before the underwriter ever gets to your file. So it sits there in a stack for 30 to 40 days with nothing being done on it because there's so many other files in front of it.
That's got to be frustrating for somebody trying to refi.
That's why I have a lot more gray hair. I did have a few dark ones. They're all gone.
Yeah, it's all gone, Kurt. It's all gray now. So when we get back from the break, I want to ask you more questions about documentation, okay? There's a bunch of them. Okay, you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest and Kurt Rogers. You can get a hold of Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500. Check him out online at aimortgage.net. I'm Dan Mueller. We'll be right back.
What would you do if you knew how to trade with the skill and confidence of the pros? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Online Trading Academy in Denver. Now is your chance to attend a free 2-hour class to learn more about Online Trading Academy. You will learn how to buy at wholesale and sell at retail, just like the financial institutions. Learn how professional traders navigate today's increasingly volatile markets and manage risk. You'll hear some of the common mistakes of the novice investor and how to reduce them. Learn how you can time the market by waiting for opportunity to come to you. Online Trading Academy in Denver. Call now to enroll in this complimentary 2-hour class. 303-217-4511. That's 303-217-4511. Or visit them online at tradingacademy.com.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Got a road trip plan for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireService.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Kurt Rogers, 720-895-0500 or aimortgage.net if you want to get a hold of Kurt and ask him some questions. And okay, Kurt, so this is the part, we're talking about documentation, we're talking about the loan process, we're talking about, you know, has COVID been affecting you, why is everything taking so long? But here's the thing that gets me every time I've gone through this process. Why do lenders keep asking for the same documentation over and over and over?
They're again? Bored. No, they're not.
It's got to be. That's the only thing I can think of.
And I was reading an article the other day. The number one complaint that the homeowners have when they're trying to go through the mortgage process is the required documentation. And I completely understand it. I have lenders asking for stuff that makes absolutely no sense to what a condition they're trying to solve. What happens, there are certain basic documentation you have to provide. And here is, this is mainly the whole reason for this show, is so that customers can understand that if you understand the process before you get into it and you're prepared for it, you can take weeks off the delay of your loan closing.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. But when you're asking for customers for documentation, like W-2s, they want W-2s. One of the questions that will come up, well, I gave you my tax returns, why do you need the W-2s? Because they're cross-referencing your identity to make sure what you're telling them is true. Or we'll have to where the lender, the IRS now requires the borrower to get the tax transcripts. Very few customers understand what a tax transcript is.
I don't know what that is.
Tax transcript is a transcript of your tax return that you filed with the IRS. So in 2018, 2019, you filed your taxes.
Right.
Well, you can go in and request a copy of your transcript, which is a shortened version of that, all with the numbers. Lenders have been doing it for customers for years. With COVID and the IRS, they said, we're not wanting the lenders to do it. We now make the borrower do it. And there's a form or document that I send you. You get online, hit a button, put in your phone number, and it gives it to you. It's instant.
It is. So you don't have to wait for it.
No, it's real simple.
Oh, okay.
I gave you the transcripts. Why do you want the returns? Well, the transcript says what you filed to the federal government. What does your real return says that you signed? Again, they're looking for fraud. So these are documentation. And to a normal consumer, they're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. The shortest version that I can answer that, and you're not going to like it, is common sense has nothing to do with mortgage financing. They don't
I totally believe that. It doesn't fit. Right.
You can't use common sense and logic because they don't think of it that way. Again, they're looking for fraud. So when you're going through the process, if you provide the documentation that's requested, and I'm not picking on my customers. Every broker in the industry runs across the same thing. When we ask for documents, let's say we ask for a bank statement, and you send us over your bank statements for the last 2 months. Page 1 of 6, we go through, we got up to page 5 of 6. We don't get 6 of 6. We call back and go, why? It's blank. Lender doesn't care. If it says 6 of 6, we want all pages.
And that drives you crazy.
And it irritates the consumer. It's just what they want. If they're going to finish the loan, here's what they want. When they ask for ID, they want an active. When they ask for a lease, they want one that's filled out and signed. A blank one doesn't work. If you want to do a tax or an itemization of your bank account, you have to have it to where at the bottom of it, it has to have the URL, where it came from offline, if you got it offline. It has to have the name of the bank. They have to know that it can't be made up. Has to have the name of the bank, has to have your name, has to have the account number, has to have the dollar amount. Has to have those five items or they won't accept it. They ask, when they ask for something, they're asking for it for a specific reason. Not because they're calling you a liar. They're verifying that what you're telling them is the truth. And there's a difference.
Yes.
So that process takes. Now, why they keep asking for the same document? Go back to when you start to file. Okay. Let's say you started to file October 1st, and you gave them 2 months of bank statements, a month of pay stubs. You're all good there. Now, all of a sudden, we're November 1st, and we get the approval. I now need another month of bank statements and another month of pay stubs because it has to be the most current that's available. If you've given me your IRAs and your 401ks, and here's a good one. Let's say they're quarterly. Well, you can get a transcript up to the current time.
Okay.
So that's what they
want that.
And to be honest, don't tell them you can't do it because they know it can be done because every financial company out there can give you one. You might have to fight them, but they can give you one as to what's in the account. They need to prove that you still have what you say you have.
Well, that makes sense. And if you are stubborn, you could put your loan in jeopardy, right? I mean, you could just get kicked out. If you decide, well, I can't get you that info, you probably just get kicked out, right?
In some cases, you can get angry and get kicked out and not want to abide by it. But there's normally a workaround on different issues. If I can't get a document, maybe I can get the person that runs that company to write a statement. I have a guy just the other day that the company he was getting paid for was deferring his compensation for 90-plus days. Well, he didn't qualify because he wasn't making enough money from the other companies he was getting money from, so he was short. So we had to go to the company. They had to write us a letter stating we've been holding his money for 90 days. Here's the money he's earned in June, July, August, in September. We will now start paying him on June, July, and August and only hold back 45 days. But they had to see the document, it had to be signed, and we had to have proof that the money got to him. So they could prove what was said. Everything has to be able to be provable if it's a document. If I'm going to say it, I have to be able to document it. Here's another good one. If you have a bank statement and you put $5,000 in there in a lump sum for whatever reason, however you got it. The anti-money laundering law says a lender is required to see the documentation where that money come from. If it came from the sale of a car and it was cash, they will not count it. It's not documentable. They can't count it. They can't count it for income. They can't count it for assets or reserves that may be required.
Wow.
I don't disagree. I mean, I'm not here saying I agree with them. I'm just telling you, if you want the process to go through,
The rules. This is how it works.
Yeah. I mean, if you want their money, you have to do it. And these are requirements by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Lenders and brokers don't get to say, well, I don't want to do that one.
Well, you know, okay. So, there are a lot of conditions that come back from underwriting, right? And shouldn't the mortgage or loan officer broker know about these ahead of time so you can be prepared? Or is it just everybody's so different?
I'll address the second question
later. All right.
But the first answer is if you've been doing this for any length of time, you have a good idea what they're going to ask for. So there's times up front we will ask for things. Like if you're a W-2 employer, I won't ask for your tax returns. I don't need them. Because if I have your W-2 and I have the transcript as a W-2 only employer, the lenders aren't asking for your tax returns.
Because they can just match it.
They just match it up. They're going to be fine with that. Or they'll get a verification of employment from the lender. Now, as far as the second part of this question, tell me what it was again.
So shouldn't the loan officer or broker know ahead of time?
Yeah, he should. But we have loans that we do with lenders, and they can be two different underwriters will come back with two different decisions for the exact same kind of borrower. 740 FICO score, 80% loan-to-value, $400,000 loan amount, debt-to-income ratio is 40%, and they'll come back with different conditions on both. And it's the same guidelines they're looking at.
Yeah, but
so the answer to the question is, should they? Yes. Will they? No.
Well, I'm saying, Kurt, you only got, 45 lenders or somebody that you deal with? Shouldn't you have all the requirements memorized and just know exactly what I need to hand you?
Especially when they only are changing them once every other day, yes.
You should just be the magical Kurt Rogers, Wizard Rogers.
Well, and I think everybody goes through it. What we try to do is stay ahead. We try to pay attention to the changes they're making, but you'll get a different interpretation of that guideline from this lender to that one. And a good example of that, many people don't pay attention to a form called the anti-steering form. That form was designed so that a broker could not steer you into a more expensive loan.
Okay.
Okay, that was the purpose of the loan. It's designed to show you what the lowest rate is with the most fees, what the highest rate is with the least fees. And they're supposed to be really close together. One lender wants them to be no more than an eighth of a point apart. The other lender wants them to be at least 2 to 3 points apart. It's the same regulation for both lenders written by Fannie Mae, but it's their interpretation of how it's written as to what they want.
How do you reconcile that?
Well, you know that when you send it to this lender, you put these numbers.
Oh, got
in.
It. Okay.
When you send it to this one, you put in these numbers.
Okay.
But those are the kind of things that, okay, that's where we start.
That's where you start. Okay, so when we get back from the break, I want to talk about everybody's favorite part of the process, the appraisal process. Everybody loves it. You're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, AIMortgage.net. We'll be right back.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their experience center in Englewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage. I'm your host, Dan Muir, in for Scott Watley. And we've been going over the current processes of trying to get a mortgage these days since COVID, since all the insanity that's going on, low interest rates, you know, just flooding the market with people wanting to refi. And then you also got the phenomenon of people trying to leave the big cities, coming to places like Colorado, you know, wanting to buy a place. It's insane. But here's everybody's favorite part of the whole process.
Actually, it's number two.
Oh,
you told me about
two.
It at the break. Remember I said I looked? Yeah. You've done good homework here, because the couple things, they're number one and number two and what the complaints people have.
Yeah, and that would be the appraisal. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Okay, Kurt. So why do appraisals seem to, you know, cost so much these days?
Okay. Many years ago, or just past 2008, even then, appraisals were $425, maybe $450.
Okay. Seems reasonable.
Right. You could go out and find appraisers and pick one and say, here, come appraise the property. Well, that went away with a thing called the AMCs. Governor Cuomo in New York got Fannie Mae, because he threatened to sue them because they didn't do their job correctly, to come out with that you cannot any longer talk to an appraiser. The broker can't, the lender can't, the real estate agents can't basically talk to them. They can't influence the appraiser in the value. It's called coercion. So to prevent that, they make you say you can't talk to them. The appraisers are now governed that you really can't talk to these people. The only person you can talk to is the person that's running the AMC, and I'll explain what that is in a minute,
okay,
or the property on which you're doing the appraisal. So on a refinance, the homeowner.
Okay.
On a purchase, you can talk to the guy that lives there.
Okay.
Okay. AMC stands for Appraisal Management Company. What Governor Cuomo got the industry to do is you now have an AMC. So if you're an appraiser, you have to sign up with these AMCs. Lenders choose the AMCs. They may have four, five, or six of them. Once they choose the AMC, you order the appraisal through the AMC. They randomly go out there and just pick an appraiser close to the house, supposedly. I said suppose, not always the case.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. So that appraiser then goes out and appraises the property. Now, their requirements are the USPAF, which is the guideline that covers them, requires them to do certain things.
Okay.
And look at certain things.
Okay.
Well, if you've added an AMC in there, how does that AMC now get paid?
Oh, they have to raise the price of the appraisal.
Right.
Yeah.
And if the appraiser has to sign up for all these AMC and has to pay a fee to do so, what is he going to do?
He's got to raise the price of his services, too.
So to answer your question, the purpose of the AMC and what it was designed for has caused the prices to go up. Now, prices nowadays on most appraisals are going to come in at $6 to $6.50.
That's quite an increase.
That's the good part of the news.
Oh, no.
What's changed is, and we saw this earlier in 2010, 2012, or 13, when it got busy. When your demand exceeds what you can do in a day, you decide to say, well, if I make more money, I don't have to worry about losing this money over here. So the cost of appraisers can raise their price according to the difficulty of the appraisal, meaning which, if there's a property in the foothills because it's a little farther away, they can say, or if it's because it's an $800,000 or $1 million home, because it's a little more complicated to get the comps, they can raise their price, which raises it up. Worst case I've had is a guy up in Boulder because we needed it quickly. That's a rush.
Okay.
And because it was $1.2 million property, they charged him instead of $800, which was the normal fee, $2,600 if he wanted it in 5 days.
Holy cow. That's a lot of money.
Now, that
to me, that's a lot of money. Yeah. Maybe not to the guy with a $1.2 million.
The appraiser justifies it. Yeah. And if you want to have it done, again, remember, the lender has no control over that.
Right.
They have to pick the AMC. The AMC can't tell the appraiser what to do. He can say, I don't want the job. You want me to do it? It's going to cost $2,600. Is it extortion? I personally believe it is, but there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
It's the way it is. Now, understand, an appraiser is not just a person that goes out, walks around a house, takes a couple pictures, and guesses at a number. They really do have a very hard job. They have a lot of education they have to go through. There are three main things that when an appraiser is looking at a house, and what they have to find in the comps. The comps have to be within a half a mile to no more than a mile away. They have to be within the last 6 months, no more than 12 months away. And they have to be within 10 to 15% of the square footage.
That's tight. All of that seems tight to me.
So when you're looking at your house and you're determining the value, here's what they look at. A lot of people go to Zillow. They'll go to different websites and says, Zillow said this and this place said that. Those are good guidelines, but look at the comps. How many of them are close? Look at those comps to your property. Now, when you're doing upgrades, what happens in an appraisal, just because you finish the basement with hardwoods and you put a bar down there and a pool table and it's really nice, it will never come in at the same square footage value as it does upstairs. Basements won't do that. They'll come in higher, but they... Upstairs, you might get $150 a square foot. Downstairs, you'll get $75. Just the way they do it. If it's a walkout, that's different. Because a walkout's main level. Basically, it's walking out on one level.
Okay, that makes
so
sense.
So it can start to increase the value. So when you're looking at your home, those are the things they're looking for. When an appraiser comes to your house, they really don't care if you've shampooed the carpets. They only are basically looking for what the home has, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. You know, how many square feet? Is it a ranch? Is it a tri-level? What is it? So I can find the comps to go with it. If you want to help on your appraisals, You can, if you want to, go out and find other homes that are close to yours and have pictures of them laying on the counter. And when they come in, you can talk to them. Well, I was looking at it, and this guy just sold this house, you know, 4 months ago, and this is what he got. You know, it's pretty nice and blah, blah, blah. That's not coercion.
Okay.
Because the seller can talk to the appraiser about it. They can't tell him, here's what I want. Here's what I'm seeing in the neighborhood. Some appraisers like that. Some appraisers don't.
Ooh, so that's kind of a coin toss, whether or not you should do it, huh?
Yeah. But you can't coerce the appraiser. They won't do that. Now, with COVID, normally appraisers require you not to be in the house. And what they ask you to do is open all the doors, turn on all the lights. They'll come in, do their stuff, and take out. You stand outside, goes away.
Wow. Things really have changed, haven't
they? They've changed a whole lot with that process. And what used to be 5 to 7 days now can run 20 to 30 days to get an appraisal.
Just to get an appraisal. And in this market, especially, you know, the outskirts of Denver where things are moving so fast, how does that work if it's taking that long? Because you see these houses go up and then boom, they're sold, you know?
What's happening with those on the appraisal side, when you're doing something on a purchase, you actually increase the price of the appraisal because you're going to get a rush on it in most cases. It has to get quick. You can't slow a close down because you can't get the appraisal done quicker.
Now, let's say the appraisal comes in and I'm like, oh, this is so far off. How, can I contest that?
Absolutely.
What can I do? Okay.
Absolutely. What you have to do, and that's a great question. If you think the value of your house is more, if it's within $10,000 or $15,000, it's truthfully not worth the fight.
Okay.
You're not going to get that. If they miss it by 50, I've had a guy miss it by 105.
Holy smokes, that's a lot.
105,000. He completely missed the fact this guy had gave no value to a walkout basement, finished with a bar and a pool table and hardwood floors, that walked out and looked at a golf course. He said he told me that does not increase the value of the house.
I don't believe that for a minute.
That's why I got $105,000 more, because it didn't.
So did you or somebody have to request a different appraiser? Is that how that works?
That's one of the ways. The other way, you can actually contest with the appraiser. If you can find two other pieces of property that meet those other requirements that I talked about, being a half a mile, being within 6 months to a year, and being within 10 to 15%, and you can justify that those are comps, it then makes the appraiser has to justify why he or she did not use those comps for the value.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering, what planet was that appraiser on that didn't think that would add value walking out onto a golf course from your basement? Holy cow. I mean, everybody wants that.
What a lot of people don't know is with the change of the regulations, two things have happened, which is why lenders and underwriters are tightened in appraisers. If an appraiser blatantly miscalculates the value of a home and the loan is done and that home forecloses, that appraiser is subject to pay for that house. They used to not do that. So when they're appraising a house, seldom are they ever going to take the top three comps.
Really? Okay.
It's number one. Underwriters, for example. If an underwriter underwrites something and doesn't meet the guidelines according to the lender, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and that house forecloses, that underwriter is subject to being liable for that loan.
Holy smokes.
So every time they say yes, they're kind of putting themselves on the hook. That's why you had that number that said, 42% of the people got denied because they're not comfortable with your income.
Just not going to take the risk.
We're not taking the risk because I'm not going to sign for it. I actually had one underwriter tell me once when I was doing a loan, and I said, you know, this is a good loan. She said, this company's only had one foreclosure since 1999. I don't want this one to be number two. And that one really bothered me. I'm like, you're anticipating these people not being able to do that. We ended up getting the loan done. Yeah.
Through that same company?
But that was her fear. That was one of her driving fears.
Well, I can't imagine being under that kind of pressure that I could personally be liable if this loan gets foreclosed on. That's a lot.
Yeah, they've made pretty much everybody throughout the chain now to where they can come back on you much quicker. And with any kind of foreclosure, if there's a lawsuit coming, they're going to go to the people with the money, whether it's right or wrong. They're going to go to the companies that have the biggest pockets.
Well, you know, that kind of answers my next question that I want to get to after the break, and that is, if I'm able to make my current payments, how can I not qualify for the loan? Let's ask that after the break, okay? All right, so you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, aimortgage.net. I'm your host, Dan Mueller. We'll be right back.
Is your vision stopping you from enjoying your outdoor activities? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Get by Stack Optical today and check out the Stack Sports Pack. One great frame where you can easily interchange the lenses to the tint you need for golf, bike riding, shooting, fishing, and yes, even driving. Stack Optical, family owned and operated. They're fully staffed and ready to help you with all of your optical needs, from eye exams, glasses, contacts, and yes, even repairs. And rest assured, Stack Optical has taken every precaution to ensure your safety and that you have a clean environment. 2233 South Monaco Parkway. 303-321-1578. Call them now. 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else, you ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good, regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. And not just my friends, but truly, the staff at Lone Tree feels like part of our family. Since 2002, they have provided the very best care for our pets. What we love about Lone Tree Vet is the services they provide covers all of our needs, from preventative care, dentistry, pain management, cardiology, dermatology, and eye care, as well as emergency and critical care. They also offer veterinary surgery and orthopedic care. And when you need to get away, they have a fantastic boarding lodge and a cat boarding lodge that is amazing. If your pet gets to go along, they can even assist you with your travel health certificates. And when your dog needs a little extra instruction, check out the K9 Academy. They helped us so much when we got a new puppy last year. And then, of course, there is the spectacular grooming salon that you and your pet will love. All of this and more at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Oh, and check out the blogs to help you become a better parent at LoneTreeVet.com. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. Call 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. It's just one stop and all the care you need.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Kurt Rogers and Affordable Interest Mortgage. I'm your host, Dan Mueller, in for Scott Watley. Okay, so Kurt, this is one of the things that frustrates me the most, right? If I'm able to make my current payments, how can I now not qualify for a loan? This is so frustrating.
Well, if you've had the loan for any length of time, some of the guidelines and the qualifications have changed. You know, maybe then you were making more money in a bonus. Don't know. Maybe then you didn't have as much debt. But the lender, you know, some customers will say, well, I've been paying it. I'm going to continue to pay it. But the lender is looking at it again. We come back to what I said at the beginning of the show. It's risk. Right now, the lender has no risk on your loan, on the loan you're paying. When they take you off of that loan and put it on their books and you miss a payment, now it's their risk.
Now it's their risk.
Yeah. You have to meet those qualifications, so they don't look at that kind of thing. They look strictly as, can you qualify today? Yeah. What's the likelihood of that continued employment for 2 years?
But, you know, doesn't common sense, and once again, you said throw out common sense, right? But doesn't common sense say, hey, I need a place to live. I'm going to pay for this no matter what. I mean, doesn't common sense just kind of, I mean, the whole world has to be crumbling down before I miss my house payment.
And I understand that. But there's a lot of people that have decided they want to lift off the grid and don't feel that they should have to pay.
They just have. It's just not going to work. Okay. So I understand that in order to get the best rate, I have to have good credit. What is good credit?
In most cases, 620 and up will get you into a loan. The higher the credit goes, the better chance you have of getting lower rate. Again, everything comes back to risk. They have proven through the years that if you have this score, this percentage of people foreclose. If you have this score, this percentage of people foreclose. And it's kind of black and white. Where's my risk? 740 and above, they don't have a lot of risk. So that's why they'll say, yeah, we'll give you the money. They'll give you a higher loan to values because the risk is less to them. Because people in that category have been able to make those payments. So that's why you're going to see different rates for different people. And currently, we are seeing rates being offered at 1.99. And that's a subject that I think is, are the rates available? Somebody will call me up and say, can I get 1.99? Yeah, you can. But there's a cost to that. It's not free. It's not. If that's the case, why is many lenders at 2.25 or 2.5 doing great business instead of 1.99? It's not that they're making any extra money. The way they do it is they'll charge you a fee, a discount fee. And the discount fee is buying the rate down.
Okay.
So when you pay the money up front, you're basically paying the bank the profit for the cost of that rate to lower the rate. So you get a lower payment. The way you figure out if that makes sense, and sometimes it does, is take that dollar amount you're paying, divide it by the payment savings, and that'll tell you how many months you've got to stay in the house to get that money back.
That makes total sense.
It's very simple to do. So 1.99 is available, but if you see a 1.99, then you see an APR at 2.42, there's a whole bunch of money they're charging you in fees to get to that 1.99 versus getting a rate of 2.25 and having no fees, and the APR is 2.25. Even though the rate's higher, it costs you less money.
Okay, and these are things that a regular person just isn't going to understand without talking to you and figuring that out.
No, and they kind of get, you know, everybody's getting these flyers that say, well, I can do this. Well, do yourself a favor. Turn the page over. Find at the bottom or the top somewhere they got all this nice little fine print because they got it. And then circle the ones that you don't make.
Right. Okay? Yeah. So then you're not going to qualify for that.
And then the final one, it says, well, OAC or WAC, with approved credit or unapproved credit. Well, that one might be one you don't know about yet.
Right, because you don't know where you're at. Real quick, before we get to the next question, I got to ask you about the credit score again. Do they just look at the current credit score, or do they go back in history and say, you know, but you were like this a month ago, and now you're this? Or do they just look at the current credit score?
You must be sitting in my office, because I had this customer this morning that the lender has come up with a new term called pre-foreclosure. They're turning the guy down because they believe he had a pre-foreclosure. And I have no idea what a pre-foreclosure is. Foreclosure means you've missed 5 months.
Okay.
It automatically falls into foreclosure.
Okay.
This guy had missed up to four back in 2017. And they're turning it down for that. And I'm like, why does that matter? His credit score is a 752.
Wow.
Got lots of money in the bank.
Yeah.
That to income ratio is great. But because of something that happened in 17, in his mind, he thinks this is a bad risk. Remember what I said, he's on the hook.
He's on the hook.
So that's how he's looking at it. So I have to try to figure a way to get around that, either with that lender or a different lender.
Because in my mind, the guy never got that far. He must have made him up somehow, because he's got the 750. I don't get.
I'm actually going to call the customer and say, was there a reason to cause this? You know, was my wife in, because it was she was on it. Was there an accident? Was I sick for a year? And we just took money out of savings and robbed Peter to pay Paul to get by, put things on cards to where we got here and we missed mortgage payments. You know, there may be a justifiable reason for this happening, because everything else about the guy's been perfect for years. So to answer your question, they look at everything,
okay,
good or bad.
That is really interesting. Okay, so I want to go back to the money thing just for a second, okay? So why don't lenders count my overtime or bonuses or commissions?
Said it at the beginning when I talked about COVID.
Okay.
Can you prove that you're still making the same amount of money now during COVID as you did before? Because sometimes if you're on a bonus, you're not making the bonus these months. So if you're not, they're not going to count that money, because, and I've had this happen with customers, well, if their bonus goes away, now they don't count any of their bonus, any of it. Now their income is less, their debt-to-income ratio is higher, they now don't qualify. And they don't understand. They said, but I am making something. The lender sees it this way, and this is what I've heard from underwriters. If their income is going down in COVID, if it gets worse, they're out of a job, we don't want the risk. I understand it. I'm not saying I agree with it. I understand it. They're the ones that's throwing the $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 out there.
Right.
They have to look at it from that point. So when you're on bonus, or you got overtime, or you're on tips, or you're self-employed, those things, and they need to see the bank statement showing the money going in, and they need to see what's called a P&L to help that justify.
Okay,
that.
Real quick though, COVID goes away, let's just say. How long does it take a person like this to recover from that to where the bonuses and overtime stuff?
2 to 3 months.
2 to 3 months. So it's not an eternity.
It's not life killing. We just kind of kick it down the road.
Right.
But if so you're in one of those jobs that stuff can happen, it could continue to go along. There's a lot of people in that position, you know, that work for different companies that they relied on that bonus and it's not there.
Okay. Ma'am, we're out of time. You got to do your thing.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, 7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, Centennial, Colorado. Our phone number is 720-895-0500. We are regulated by the Division of Real Estate. We are an equal credit lender. Our NMLS number is 298191. And I wanted to let everyone know some of the conversations I've had today is my 20 years of experience speaking, because you're not going to find it in some documentation. It's just what I've run across.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Over 20 years.
No, this has been fantastic. Kurt, thank you as always.
All
righty, that's it for us. Don't forget to join my buddy John Rush today at 3 o'clock for Rush to Reason. Keep it tuned right here to KLZ 560. I'm Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.